From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, a festival's worth of footage from the best of the worst VHS tapes. Before that, though, President Obama's nationally televised address tonight. Obama says he'll issue an executive order that will lead to immigration reform. Some Texans told Bill Ziebel what they think might happen.
Republicans and Democrats don't agree on much, except, says President Barack Obama, the state of current immigration policy.
Everybody agrees that our immigration system is broken.
So tonight, the president says he'll issue an executive order that Fox News, The New York Times, and others say could help up to 3 million, maybe more, undocumented immigrants stay in the country. It'll focus on children who came here illegally with parents and some of those children who are now grown with their own families. Republican Whip Senator John Cornyn of Texas wanted a bipartisan immigration reform bill and warned yesterday that this move will poison those efforts.
The message is that the president has given and our Democratic friends has given is we give up. We're not going to do our job as legislators. We're going to let the president, with the stroke of a pen, provide an executive amnesty to millions of people and create an awful lot of harm in the process.
What kind of harm? Cornyn says the president's action is unconstitutional and unfair.
The president's going to tell the people who've been waiting patiently in line, playing by the rules, get in the back of the line. I'm going to put millions of people ahead of you in front of the line who have not played by the rules.
Dallas attorney Saul Villasana, who used to serve on the Mexican-American Bar Association board, is looking forward to the president's executive order and doesn't buy Cornyn's arguments.
The Republicans have consistently poisoned those waters with their venom and their awful, hateful speech against immigrants. These are children who came here when they were children. Some of them are still children, and they shouldn't be treated as criminals.
Republicans also call this a political move since it keeps Democratic-leaning immigrants in the country. Villasana says Obama is finally just doing the right thing.
That's just being a leader and doing what is correct and keeping families together.
Texas is among six states with the largest undocumented immigrant population, according to Pew Research. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins counts tens of thousands in Dallas alone. Bill Ziebel, KERA News.
You can hear the president's speech tonight at 7 on KERA 90.1. The programmers of the Found Footage Festival pour through all the VHS tapes they can get their hands on. No aerobics instructor, no corporate trainer, no public access TV host is safe. This week, our big screen team talks to the festival's founder about the allure of these terrible videos.
I'm Stephen Becker with KERA.
And I'm Chris Bogner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And today we're talking to Nick Prewer, one of the founders of the Found Footage Festival. Nick, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You've been putting together this festival for 10 years now, and when you're rummaging through bins of old tapes, what catches your eye and gives you an idea that this one might have something good on it?
You know, there's certain signs, for example, anything with a celebrity, a C-list celebrity. Also, any kind of corporate wrapping or it looks like there's somebody wrapping that shouldn't be, that's always a good sign.
I just watched the 49ers team of the 80s routine. I think that falls under the corporate wrapping, perhaps.
Yeah, that was a whole trend of music videos by athletes that stemmed from the Chicago Bears Super Bowl shuffle, and nobody quite did it right after that.
So I guess this is kind of a comedy festival of sorts. Is that correct? I mean, the idea is that this is pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. Festival, we kind of call it that for the alliteration. Really more of a show, and it's kind of a guided tour through our VHS collections.
So when you started this festival, there actually was no YouTube. Now that people watch fairly professional-looking videos online every day, does it make the stuff that you all show look even worse and more dated by comparison?
Yeah, maybe it is, like, sort of because we predate YouTube and, we refuse to take any videos off the Internet, even if they're from the VHS era, because it seems like cheating. You know, the other thing is there's just such a glut of material out there on YouTube. Some of it's funny, some of it's garbage, and so I think people appreciate the role of a curator now more than ever.
So I would imagine this stuff plays really well with a live audience rather than just sitting in front of your laptop by yourself.
I think people, I mean, maybe they forget how fun it is to sit around in a group of friends, like in a dark room, and watch this kind of stuff. It's just, it's kind of a magical thing happens when you project it on a big screen. I think sort of that solo experience of watching it on a little window, a 2-inch window on your laptop, it's not quite the same.
Has anyone in any of the videos you've ever shown actually turned up in the audience?
That has happened. Yeah, we have a series of safety videos by a company called Federated Mutual, and it is basically a bunch of on-the-job accident reenactments. And at one point, we were doing a show in Minneapolis, and we were kind of mingling in the lobby afterwards, and a guy with a mustache came up to us and said, "Do you recognize me?" And it took a second, but then it hit us. He's the guy who got his hand caught in the table saw in this video. And all of a sudden, we shook his hand, and we're like, "Oh, we can't wash this hand." I mean, we were starstruck. You know, in our little world, these people are celebrities.
Nick Pruer, director of the Found Footage Festival, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Nick.
That was our big screen team, Stephen Becker and Chris Wagner. The Found Footage Festival plays tomorrow night at the Texas Theater in Oak Cliff. Earlier this week, StoryCorps founder Dave Isay was awarded the $1 million TED Prize for, quote, sparking global change.
You know, the core of what we do, the radio stories are like a wonderful byproduct of the public service we offer, which is giving two people, usually people who know each other well, the chance to sit in a room, in this case in an Airstream trailer, with a trained facilitator and talk about what's most important in their lives.
The StoryCorps mobile booth will be at the AT&T Performing Arts Center in Dallas until December 20th. KERA's Dwali Saikautau takes a look inside.
Hi, welcome.
Hi,
come on in.
Look at this place.
Welcome. I'm Emily Jansen, the site manager for StoryCorps' mobile tour. Come in and have a seat here at this, a little booth at this table. It's a little bit like kind of a booth at a diner. You can kind of think of it like that.
It's a very intimate space, isn't it?
It's the kind of space that we so rarely have in our lives. It's quiet. We ask you to turn your cell phones off when you come in here. No interruptions. It's just you and that person and your conversation.
So how does the magic happen?
Ah, yes. You'll come into this recording booth and sit down with your partner, and we'll do a sound check. And then you'll record this conversation with your loved one.
When people come here, they're probably a bit intimidated by the whole challenge of this.
It can be a little intimidating at first. This microphone is not tiny. After a few minutes, you do stop noticing the microphone, and you can really just speak the way you normally speak, with all of your ums and hms and your laughter and exclamations. That's all part of it, and you don't need to have some special radio voice or perfect story and perfect way of saying it.
How does one know if they have a story to tell?
Yeah, and often some people wonder and some people just first assume they don't have a story because they think, well, my story isn't dramatic and it doesn't have this great arc of triumph or tragedy or anything like that. But really, it's how funny it was the time that my dad dropped our dinner on the floor and we ate it anyway and we loved it. It's remembering the smell of your grandmother's cooking. It's how you got through a really hard time when you didn't have a job. And that's really important for your family to hear those stories. All of those things stitched together, that creates this beautiful and rich story for us as a country and as a culture. And that's what we have in these archives.
Thank you, Emily Jansen.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.